Okay, welcome to Three Peeps in a Podcast, episode 31. We are here on location at ITV Studios. With me, as always, is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello, listeners. Welcome.
And as I said, we're at ITV Studios because we're joined by Alex Beresford off the TV.
So off Alex,
At Alex Beresford TV,
if anyone wants to get hold of me on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, we've just started on Instagram, actually. At 3PIAPC, for anyone who's listening. And on Twitter as well, so at 3Peeps in a Podcast. As I said, we're here with Alex Beresford, and over the past sort of 30 episodes, we've got on to the show some local talent and personalities. Yeah. So, Alex, we're just going to have a chat to you and talk about, firstly, really, how you got into what you do now, which I don't know if you classify as a weatherman, as a presenter, as what. So just really how you got into it and what you sort of describe yourself as.
Okay, well, I guess most people know me for presenting the weather on ITV, but I also do other presentation as well. I actually started right here in this very studio that we're sat in at the moment. It looked a little bit different. Gosh, it's 12 years ago.
Blimey.
I think it is. Yeah, I joined in 2004, August 2004.
Okay. In the post room or something, actually?
Actually, no. I was doing the auto queue. So on the monitors now, you can see, obviously, there's the auto queue on the front of the camera.
Post office.
There you go. You can read part of the script, yeah. I used to sit behind that wall over there on a little computer just doing the auto queue.
Right.
For the presenters who used to, obviously, they were sat, just there. And I used to dream of being on the other side of the camera, but of course, when you first come into the industry, you don't really know how to go about it.
Mm.
And I didn't know anything about television news when I first started.
Yeah.
I literally arrived here and just kind of fell in love with the place, really, because news is so different to so many other platforms that you can work in during the media, because no day is the same.
Yeah.
It's always different. There's lots of excitement going on around you.
Yeah.
And I just kind of thought, I'd love to be part of this, but I want to be on screen, because I always knew I wanted to be on screen from when I was a little kid.
So before you got to that point,
What
did you get any qualifications specific to the role or...?
So when I was kind of young, I was always kind of like dabbling with the idea of working in TV. I decided to get myself an agent. I had no experience. It's quite hard to get an agent, actually, because it's a bit of a catch-22. You need an agent to get work, but then a lot of agents don't want to take you on because you haven't done
work.
Anything.
Yeah, so you haven't got work.
So it's actually quite hard, but I managed to find someone that was able to kind of like take me on and give me a chance. And my first bit of television presenting was for a program called Curriculum Bites.
Okay.
It's a spin-off of BBC Bite Size, and I presented all the science versions for them. It was kind of like 4 or 5 episodes for the BBC, but randomly my first ever job was here at ITV, and it was in the studio, which is behind this studio.
Right, okay.
And the Beeb actually hired it, and we filmed all the episodes in there, and it was all on green screen.
Right, okay.
How funny that I work on green screen today. So there was obviously like some kind of like weird link going on that I didn't know how it was all going to pan out. But that was the kind of like the only thing that I had. So when I... And I did that series when I was at uni.
Right.
When I was at uni, I went to the University of Gloucestershire. I was doing a degree in English Studies and Performing Arts. So it's always kind of like been in this kind of arena.
I would say
I'm probably a bit of a performer.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
All right. So have we seen you on anything non-presenting, like, extra work or acting?
Oh, my gosh, extra work. I've done loads of that. Yeah. I used to be with Phoenix Theatrical Agency.
So Rich is a bit of an extra?
I've been with them the last 5 years.
Ah, there you go. Okay, so when I was a lot younger, I used to be with Phoenix, and I've done quite a lot of extra work. namely on Casualty, and obviously it used to be filmed here in Bristol.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
So it was like really easy to get to.
It's a shame that it's gone, isn't it?
It is such a shame. Yeah.
So you just see it all the time. Oh, there's Casualty. It's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, you'd never know where it was filmed.
No.
Unless you're an extra, and you think, wow, I didn't know that place is literally just down the road from where I lived. So I used to do that quite a lot with my brother. And I really did enjoy it, but I have to say, towards the end, when I kind of got over the fact of, you know, waiting 7 weeks to see yourself on TV for 3 seconds.
Yeah, watching that bit.
Yeah, I used to go to Casualty, and I used to take my uni work with me,
right,
or my college work.
Because of all the downtime.
Because of all the downtime, obviously, you know, TV is, it can be quite boring at times, can't it? Because you're sat around waiting for something to happen, and then it's all over in a second. So what I used to do is take all my uni or college work with me, and I would do it. And when the third assistant director would come out to pick who was going to be in the background of what scene, I would literally duck down and hope not to be picked. Because for me, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Go there. Get paid and don't get used.
Get some nice free
food. Yeah, exactly. Free food as well. And, you know, have a bit of a laugh and a joke. I had some great times there, especially with Oscar, you probably have come across. He's been in Casualty from day one. The black guy, that's the porter.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a Bristol guy. He's done it from, like, day dot, and he still does it now. He does travel over to Cardiff still. But we used to have great times. It was a lot of fun, and I used to enjoy doing it with my brother as well. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of it gave me an understanding of how TV worked, actually. Yeah.
That's why I kind of do it, because it does show how things get knit together on telly.
Exactly, and it gave me that understanding, and, you know, I would love to have... Do you know what, I actually nearly had an audition to read... Actually, no, I did read for it, a part in Casualty. I didn't get the role, but obviously with the performing background, that was something that I dabbled in as well, but then the TV stuff kind of came off.
Okay, no, that's great.
I want to get back to the original... When you were doing the auto cue, who was presenting that day? Who was our presenters?
So my first shift was it was a presenter called Jenny Hull. She left here quite a few years ago, and then we've had a few presenters since then.
You were thinking of Bob
Uncle
who
Bruce.
Were you thinking?
Uncle Bruce Hocking.
Bruce Hocking. That was actually
Richard Wyatt.
Yeah, when I arrived, those guys had left, but they're still kind of like legends. And
Roger Malone as well.
Yeah, sports. Yeah. But Bruce Hocking, we've actually, well, ITV used to own the whole building, but we sold it and we rent the space back now.
Right.
So that's why there's lots of other people in this room. But one of the rooms, which you would have walked past on the way in, was actually called Bruce's. It was named after Bruce Hocking. Yeah. So, you know, these guys, they're legends. They're still people that we look up to now. And, you know, I'm quite lucky. I work with Bob Crampton,
right?
Who's been here. Yeah, like over 30 years, so obviously everybody knows who Bob is.
He doubled in the weather as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's outside at the moment, actually. He's sat at his desk.
He's on the roof.
On the roof, that's where we keep him, yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I don't think there's a direct path
into
what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's got a different story to tell. Yeah. That's what I like about working
in TV. And that's why it's great to speak to people like yourself as well, because everyone made it into whatever you're doing in a different way.
Yeah.
But do you actually grow up in Bristol? Are you from Bristol?
I'm a Bristol boy, born and bred, yes. Okay. So when I was a kid,
what's your territory?
So my first bit of territory was St. Werburgh's.
Okay.
Literally by Sussex Place, you know, where the roundabout is. So that's where I grew up when I was like really small.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Eastville.
Right.
And from there we went to kind of like St. George. So that's kind of like where I grew up when I was a kid. So it was kind of like that side of Bristol.
Yeah.
Bristol boy, definitely born and bred. I love the city. I work in London half the month, but I still like to kind of like keep my base here. This is where my family are and my little boy and everything. So,
So obviously ITV is your main studio. You work in London half the month. And is that when you're on like Good Morning Britain and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we...
And how's that? Because obviously that's quite an early start, I imagine.
Yeah, do you know what? I actually wake up quite easily for that shift. The only way I can describe it is a bit like getting up for the airport when you're going on holiday, but there's no holiday.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You're never in kind of like the deepest of sleeps at 3:45. That's what time my alarm goes off.
Wow.
And then obviously, you're up and then you go into the studio and then very quickly, it's 6 o'clock in the morning and bang,
yeah.
you're on air. Because you're all kind of in the same boat,
yeah.
you get through the shift quite easy, I would
see,
say.
Yeah,
and we have so much banter in the lead up to, like, the makeup room's just, it's the funniest part of the day, really, because that's when, like, you come in, you're all together, everyone's getting made up. Obviously, I take 2 seconds to get ready because
obviously,
I've got a lack
obviously.
Of hair. but, you know, it is just about that banter before you go on
yeah,
air. And it's banter, obviously, during the programme as well. But, you know, it's a roller coaster. We go on air at 6 o'clock, come off at 8:30, and those 2.5 hours, they're literally over in a second because it's all live
yeah.
and just, yeah, the time just rolls away.
You have done both in one day, kind of breakfast then?
And then back here.
I have actually.
It's only an hour and a half on
I,
the train.
Yeah, do you know what? I know I have actually. There's been a couple of times. It's not something that we would kind of like do
yeah,
all the
yeah.
time because it is too tiring. But if there's
sickness, yeah.
Yeah, obviously, then I would do Good Morning Britain and then I might go across to our other studios and do the national weather in London as well because that's the other job
right,
that
yeah.
I do.
Right.
And then I have come back here and done the weather on the odd occasion, but it would only be the odd occasion because that's like a really, really long day, 3:45
yeah,
in the morning
definitely.
Until the evening. It's not something, you know, I'd have a break in between, but it's still quite a long day.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Okay. We've got a fair few sort of weathery-based questions now.
Okay.
but I haven't heard that before. A few weathery-based questions.
Weathery-based questions.
Yeah. So the first one is, what do you think it is about the weather that makes it the Brits' official number one talking point?
I think the reason we're obsessed with the weather is because it is quite unpredictable here in the UK. It's not like in kind of like the Caribbean or warmer places, or even just like in Spain, where
yeah.
you know that the
yeah.
summertime
sunshine.
Is going to be summer. It is going to be hot.
It's like that Fascio sketch, isn't it, with the weather?
Yeah.
Scorchio.
Yeah, yeah. I've used Scorchio a couple of times on the weather.
Have you said it on the weather?
Yeah. not seriously, but obviously,
no.
you know, if it has been sunny, then we might say, you know, yeah, it's been Scorchio today, you know, and everyone's kind of in a good mood. But yeah, we're just obsessed with the weather because it's just so unpredictable.
Small talk is usually about the weather and traffic.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
it?
People are obsessed with it. We're
yeah.
always talking about it. And you know, the funny thing is that everyone thinks that they love the summer.
Mm.
Okay, but you get into the third day of a heat wave,
oh,
and everyone's right, exactly there. You go. Everyone's kind of like, you know, crying,
yeah.
saying, "No, we want it to be cooler.
Yeah.
Where's the rain?" So
yeah, we don't
we're
do
never happy.
On.
We think we like the well, we like the idea of summer,
yeah.
but then you get summer. And then we just can't cope with it.
Yeah.
I think if it's sunny on the weekends, I think we've got to handle it.
There you go.
So when you're sunny on a weekend,
yeah,
if you can manage that.
That is the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
In the week, I don't think people are too bothered.
No.
But it always happens in this country that the weekend has been rubbish. And then you go back to work and on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, blazing sunshine. Yeah.
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 So do you yourself do the scientists, no, they're predicting the weather.
Yeah, so basically, the way it works is that we have got a contract with the Met Office,
yeah.
and the Met Office, they supply all of our data. So every morning we come into work, and there's two phone calls that happen during the daytime. One in the morning, which is a conference call with a Met Office forecaster and all the other ITV weather presenters, and then we'd phone back in the afternoon as well for an update.
Mm.
And sometimes it has changed. We do several forecast a day,
yeah.
Because things do need updating.
Constantly changing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, constantly changing. So yeah.
And has that always been the case? Like back in the Michael Fish days and things
yeah.
like that. Did he actually write the weather himself, or did?
Yeah. So everyone thinks that we come into work,
yeah.
and the weather script is written for us.
Okay.
And I just come into the studio here and read off the auto cue.
Right.
It doesn't work like that at
okay.
all. So I come in at kind of 8:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
We look at the charts, we tweak them, and
you've got like
do
a team
lot
of
prep.
Of guys
and one is me.
There's
no one else. No. So we, you know, we do it all ourselves.
Okay.
When I say we, I'm talking about all the ITV weather presenters.
Right. Okay.
So yeah. So there's quite a lot of work that you do yourself.
Sure.
And then obviously we prep and then we come into studio and then we record and there is no auto cue. So I know you see auto cue on the screens here.
Yeah, so
but there is no script. I just make sure I know the forecast.
And where is the green screen for the weather?
You can see it over there.
Oh, right. So it's a curtain.
For the listeners. So we use a green curtain. And oh, some people you can use blue as well.
Okay.
So obviously with the... Well, I say obviously, but not a lot of people... Well, a lot of people do know this. So if I was to come in here wearing green and stand against a green screen, I would disappear apart from my head. Yeah, you'd be a talking head.
That would be
so
quite
some people use
though.
Yeah, they use blue a blue screen so that you can wear maybe because yellow something, can be a problem as
right,
well.
Okay.
Anything that's kind of got green in it
so
can be
for a Halloween special.
Yeah.
Why don't you just come in wearing a green shirt?
I'd love to. That would be funny
when you do the weather.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that this year. Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously that is our logo as well. It's bright green, so perfect. Just back onto Michael Fish.
Yeah.
Obviously, the famous incident of, was it 1987, did we say?
It was 87.
With the hurricane
there wasn't
and
be
all that sort of stuff.
Some old lady phoned up.
Yeah. Anything remotely like that ever happened to you, and then you've taken a backlash on Twitter or fan mail or anything like that?
Does your heart skip a beat if you kind of, if it does start raining when you predicted?
Does your heart skip a beat?
Yeah, does it? Yeah.
Do you know what? It's funny, right? But when things do go to plan and the rain arrives at 12 o'clock, I said it was going to arrive at 12 o'clock.
You do a little rain dance.
Yeah, there is a bit of a rain dance that goes on. You do get the weather wrong sometimes. As I say, the weather is quite unpredictable.
It
does change constantly.
Especially here as well, with the location to the coast and all
exactly,
the hills.
Exactly,
well,
obviously,
sort of
we are the British Isles, so we're an island, so we get a lot of weather. Also, Bristol is positioned out towards the west, so we get a lot of the weather first. So most of the time, when you might get things wrong, it's usually down to the timing.
Yeah.
You know that the rain is coming, but sometimes it might come in a bit quicker if the winds pick up, or it might take a bit longer for it to come in. But yeah, sometimes you do get things wrong. We're only human beings at the end of the day, and we're using data.
But unfortunately,
and technology.
in your field,
people don't see it like
if
that.
If you get it right, no one says anything, do they?
No,
when
exactly,
you get it wrong, you get the backlash.
Exactly, you won't get, Alex, you said it was going to be sunny today. Well done.
Congratulations.
But actually, just this week, we had some pretty hefty showers come through, and then they turned thundery. And we didn't really play out the fact that it was going to be really thundery, but you know, again, obviously, you know, we spoke about like a small risk, but actually, it turned out to be a bigger risk, and we did get some heavy thunderstorms earlier in the week. So things like that do happen, but fairly rarely, I would say. Yeah. Most of the time,
we don't seem to get the extreme weather, do we? We don't ever seem to get feet of snow.
We've had quite a lot of snow, you know, in the past years. Yeah,
I'm sure when I was young, it was snow.
Oh yeah, when I was younger, I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm 35. When I was younger,
How old do you think he is?
I don't
know. Out of interest.
I don't know how old he is.
No.
Oh, okay, I've got a guess.
Even though
you never guess a woman's age, I feel a bit uncomfortable guessing your age.
Don't feel uncomfortable.
I would say that I don't know what we all have. Maybe you're younger than me.
So I'm
35. You're 35,
I'm rich.
45.
Oh, wow, there you go. So you're looking good for your age.
It's one of his.
He said 35.
It's one of his party tricks, that is. How old do you think I am?
Yeah,
good moisturiser, I think.
That is a good moisturiser. Yeah, easy life, obviously. Get your hands dirty. Yeah. But when we were kids, I always remembered much more snow than kind of what we do get. But we have had some decent snow. Although actually, since my son's been born, I think I can count twice where we've actually been out in the snow, and he's 7 this year. So
yeah, it was recent. I can remember a couple of
2 years ago.
A couple of years ago, we went tobogganing down the hill. It was amazing.
It's a perfect place to live, really, because we don't get those massive extremes that like Canada do. You know, they get snowed
like
in
a,
forever, don't they?
Yeah, that's like a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Torrential downpours and
we've had floods.
Thunderstorms.
We've had floods.
68.
But like
in 68.
Knowledge.
Done his research.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think we've already sort of touched on this, but it was. Do your sort of friends and family ever contact you and say, Alex, we're having a barbecue at the weekend?
Yes.
What do you think the weather's going to be?
I get that all the time.
Can you say just watch
from
the
friends
thing?
And family?
I'll tell you this morning.
I'm saying, why didn't you watch the forecast? Or what they'll do is, this is the classic thing, is that people that know me, they watch the weather forecast and they're just watching me. And then
they don't listen.
Right, exactly. They don't listen because they're just watching, look, there's Alex, or there's my son, or there's my brother, or kind of thing. They're not actually listening to what I'm saying. And then I get the phone call. oh, my mum will say, oh, ow, I just watched the forecast, didn't hear a word of what they were saying. I was watching you. Oh, what was the forecast for tomorrow? So, yeah, I get that all the time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And then the last weathery question, okay?
Yeah.
As we've sort of called that the topic. What type of weather interests you the most?
Ooh, okay.
This is a question from Mike, one of our the third peep.
What weather and interests me
the most? And
the
follow-up question is if you ever fancied tornado chasing in America.
Well, actually, I would love to go storm chasing in America and chase tornadoes. I've actually seen the effects of a tornado. So in 2013... was it 2013?
Sure, yeah, it was. Watched when you fronted, like, World Weather?
So I do some other series. So I do World's Weirdest Weather, which is in its third series. I did Britain's Most Extreme Weather.
Is this on ITV? Or
this is on Channel 4.
Right, okay.
And I did a programme called Super Tornado.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
Back in 2013, there was a tornado, like one of the most powerful tornadoes, an F5 tornado, that hit Oklahoma.
Right.
And it literally tore a path through Oklahoma, 21 miles long, and it was a mile wide. Mm. And I got a phone call from the production company in London, and they said, oh, Channel 4 want to make a fast turnaround on this tornado. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yes. So they flew me out the day after, and it was complete and utter devastation.
Right.
As much as I'd love to go storm chasing, you really do have to go careful, because this
drive around in tanks.
Yeah,
and stuff,
literally, just it tore apart like the whole of the
direction
city.
Quite quickly. And,
sorry,
did they change?
No, it literally followed a pretty straight path. Yeah, it didn't zigzag. I got the opportunity.
That's the movies, I think.
Yeah, the movies. Yeah, but I got the opportunity to actually fly in a helicopter, like along the 21 miles.
Wow.
And yeah, it just looked completely different, and people's houses were destroyed in a second, and the most powerful an upsetting story that I heard was a guy that owned a horse ranch, and he had about 100 horses at the ranch, and they literally got picked up in the tornado because the winds were like 200 and something miles an hour. Yeah. And it's quite hard to imagine 100 horses flying through the air, but literally that's what it was. And of course they all lost their lives. So it's serious stuff, but
definitely.
Yeah, people still like to live in what they... It's that part of America is called Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
So people kind of like know what to expect. And when you ask them, you know, oh, are you going to move now because you've lost your home? Mm. They say, oh, no, we're going to rebuild.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because it wasn't like the most wealthiest part of America where it happened, when they were rebuilding their homes, most of them couldn't afford to build a storm shelter. But they would still build the home and just take the risk, basically.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you'd think like Oklahoma, that kind of area, would be like the outback in Australia, kind of
uninhabited,
just because it's...
No, lots of people live there, but, it's
quite a common thing in that part of
America. Oh, yeah, it's called, they call it Tornado Alley,
because
they get them every year. It's just a case of, is it going to come across my path this year, or is it going to go 10 miles south or something? So, yeah. Mm. But my favourite type of weather, I would probably say that was the original question.
So, tornadoes.
I love sunshine, but I guess the more, if you can call it, the more exciting part of the job is probably forecasting unsettled weather.
Right. Okay.
So probably kind of like wind, high winds and heavy rain. I guess is probably the more exciting end of it.
And people probably get, in a funny way, more benefit out of that, because obviously they've got to take extra precautions. They wouldn't go on, motorway journeys and things like that, so they can plan there.
You have to. That's when like the job gets serious. So obviously we're going into like autumn and winter now.
Yeah.
And that's when my job gets. I mean, it's serious in the summer.
No, I know.
So you're warning people, but
yeah,
when the weather is bad over here, obviously you
change
can't
your tone
your
of delivery.
Exactly, and there's weather warnings being issued here, then everywhere, and that's when, the kind of like the fun's over.
Yeah.
And you're giving like serious messages. Yeah.
Do you think it has changed over the decades, the weather we get in this country?
You're touching on global warming there, Richard?
I guess, obviously, yeah.
Insinuating.
Obviously global warming, climate change, obviously, it is happening. So the weather is getting, global temperatures are rising.
So when it does rain, doesn't it?
Yeah, we are getting heavier rainfall, but that's partly to do with kind of obviously our position in the world. Obviously, we've got the Atlantic Ocean, which is a big factor. There's lots of water, lots of moisture in the air. And obviously when you get more heat, so heat basically makes give storms more energy.
Yeah.
So obviously the hotter it gets, the more energy those storms have. So then you get heavier downpour and
I think if it doesn't harm you in any way, like floods, things like that, I think that's something quite nice, like being sat in your front room, cup of tea.
Yeah, the rain in. Lashing. Yeah, you don't want floods.
No,
obviously,
not.
When it's lashing against the window,
you feel cozy, don't you? You feel cozy.
Caravans are the best for that, though, aren't
caravans,
they?
Caravans, yeah. Oh, I still love caravan holidays when I was
there. It was raining. Excellent, yeah, quite soothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so out of weather then, obviously, we've said you've got a few other, you present some shows and stuff like that. So, a question is, who is the most famous person you've ever interviewed?
The most famous person I've ever interviewed. I'm trying to think now. I've interviewed quite a few people, like pop stars and
one with Girls Aloud the other night.
Sarah Harding.
Sarah Harding, that's it.
Yeah, I interviewed Sarah Harding. She's playing Molly in Ghost Musical, which I'm actually going to watch tonight.
Oh, right, okay.
So I interviewed her this week.
Yeah.
Just trying to think. I mean,
come back to that if you like.
Yeah, I mean, quite a few pop stars.
Mm.
I mean, I've met loads and loads of people, like just working in London in the studios. You can walk past
some
really
exactly.
big stars and get to meet them. Like, and also people that you didn't think were going to take your breath away. Like, I never really got it, I guess. But you know Donny Osmond?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I met him and I just didn't get why loads of women were kind of all over him and screaming and everything like that and thinking, oh, Donny Osmond. But when I met him, I kind of got why women like him so much.
Right, okay.
He's super suave just a nice guy. And you can tell he's well kept. Well, he's got lots of money, hasn't he? But he's probably one of the most famous people that I've
met. We'll keep Donny Osmond on that. I mean, Donny Osmond's on the side of Vegas hotels and stuff, isn't he? So
he's pretty famous. Yeah, he's a fairly big deal. But I've seen, quite a few like Hollywood actors. Oh, like the Jackson 5. I met them at work. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Where was that?
Michael Jackson.
Unfortunately.
I was going to say,
God, if I got to meet Michael Jackson, wow.
He would be probably on top of the list, I'd imagine.
Yeah, he would be like top of the list, yeah.
Did you say anything from Rich? Any questions on that?
I just wonder where you met the Jacksons.
Oh, that was at the studios in London. Yeah, at work, on Good Morning Britain.
Oh, right.
Yeah. This isn't written in here, but I've suddenly thought of this. Mm. Have you been offered or would you do any of the reality shows?
Do you know what? I thought about it. I guess I wouldn't mind doing I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of It. But the only thing is that I'm in a real bad mood when I don't get to eat properly.
Right.
And
so you'd be good for TV then.
I'm a slim guy anyway. So, I'm not sure. If someone came back and they didn't get all the
stars.
All the stars for the meals.
Are you quite an easygoing character or would you get wound up by people kind of debauting and kind of.
I would just switch off. I don't really get wound up that much. Okay. Yeah, right. I would just kind of, if someone was acting up, I would just.
They've actually said.
I'd take a step back.
On the I read on the internet the other day that they're going to not put all the reality stars in anymore. You know, like your Essex and Made in Chelsea and all that sort of stuff.
A lot of reality programs have been like those celebrity programs have actually been filled up with reality TV
and
stars.
Yeah. Celebrity have actually, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, have said that they're not going to do that. They're going to sort of bring it back to
you know more than me.
Well, I
Patch lives for ITV. ITV One on Saturday night.
And who
doesn't? Hey, come on.
Exactly. Well. Rich is a particularly big fan of the X Factor, but we won't go into that.
Don't get me started.
We'll need a whole podcast for that. Okay, we've got a few one or the other questions.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so just quick fire.
Okay,
so
go for it.
Say the first thing that comes to your head. Okay, so ketchup or brown sauce?
Ketchup.
Partridge or Brent?
Partridge.
Good. City or Rovers?
Oh, Rovers.
Oh, right.
I'm only joking.
That's the end of the podcast. Yeah, we're both... So City, is it?
Yeah, City, yeah.
Okay, good. Glad of that. Chinese or Indian?
Chinese.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Good man. Oasis or Blur?
Ooh. Oasis.
Right. West Coast or East Coast?
West Coast.
Nice. Devon or Cornwall?
Tricky. I'm going to say Devon, only because I used to go there on holiday every year when I was a kid and I got fond memories of that.
Whereabouts?
We used to go to Dawless Warren.
Ah, nice. By Exmouth.
Yeah, by Exmouth.
It was Sandy Bay.
I stayed there.
Starbucks or Costa?
Costa.
All right. Domino's or Pizza Hut?
Domino's.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
And then Coke or Pepsi is the final one.
Coke.
Okay, good. So that's a little insight into Alex there. A few dichotomous questions.
What are they going to get from that?
We've got a personality analyzer. So we'll get you allocate your colour or something.
We'll send the results to your bosses.
So what have you got coming up then, Alex? You've got obviously, I know you're going to watch Ghost tonight, but in terms of your professional career,
are you hoping to do more
TV shows and things like that?
The documentaries that they're a lot of fun. In the last year, I've started to present some of the Tonight programmes, which is the ITV's current affairs programme. So I've done a couple of those. So hopefully I get to do some more of that perhaps this year. I'm busy. I'm always all over the place at the moment. Either with kind of like Good Morning Britain, working here at ITV West Country, working and doing the network stuff in London. And I also do quite a lot of kind of like charity work as well, working with like kids, and I do school tours. So, I guess like over the next couple of months, I'll continue to do that. But we're actually moving house hopefully in the next couple of months. So I know that's going to take up a lot of my time. So,
definitely.
Yeah. And obviously, Christmas time is just around the corner.
Oh, crikey. It is indeed. So we've got a regular segment on our show, and I know you've only got about 5 minutes left. So it's basically it's called Room of Doom. But it's essentially Room 101.
So what do I need to do for this then?
So there's got to be something that really annoys you, or something that annoys you on a daily basis, or something that people do, sounds people make, something like that.
Something you'd like to get rid of.
Yeah.
We could lock it away.
But I'll start us off, and I'll give you a chance to try to think. So for me, we do this every episode, I've come up with 30 things so far. Just the other day, I was on Facebook, and these sort of adverts come up, and it says, look at these people now, and it's like the stars and the Goonies or something. And you click on it, it takes you to a different Facebook page, and then you get pop-ups of Clash of the Titans or all those apps and games and stuff like that. And you literally have to wait for 5 seconds until you can actually close it. So it's Facebook adverts. Or pop-ups.
Okay, that you hate.
That's what I want to put in the room.
I agree with that. What I would love is for them to stop the videos playing automatically, because sometimes there's videos that play on there that you don't actually want to see.
No.
And you end up seeing them because there was one of
someone squeezing a spot or something yesterday that I rolled past and I was like, oh my god. And I actually took it upon myself to press do not want to see this and almost click report to Facebook.
I clicked onto an article that I wanted to read the other day, and I got onto the article, and the first two sentences were there, and then the rest of it was blurred out. Over the top said, click here to answer a few questions.
And then you can read the rest.
Then you can read the rest. Yeah. And I just think,
I just want to
see it now, but quite a few kind of like online publishers
are starting to
do that. Yeah, so...
But they get money per click.
Well, exactly, but you said you would... Unless it's something you trust, really, you wouldn't want to click stuff, would you?
Yeah.
Right, so that's a good one. Rich, anything you got lined up?
No. people not being prepared.
Okay.
Yeah, don't you have I've do a Rich's Rant every episode as well.
And you've ranted enough.
So I have double, you see. I have Room of Doom and Rich's Rant.
Yeah,
so
he's got a thing too.
I'm out.
I've got a little script that I've written here.
Okay.
And it's for you to do a Three Peeps forecast.
Oh, okay.
So we can always cut this out. But if you wouldn't mind reading it through, as if you were presenting it the green screen.
Okay,
It's just there. Look.
Okay, right. Now there's nothing bad in here that I'm about to read.
Honestly, I would not stitch you up.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Hello and welcome to the Three Peeps in a Podcast Forecast. Unlike the weather, it's easier to forecast as to what to expect here on Bristol's number one podcast. The warm front composed of the anger from Rich meets the more relaxed, chilled out vibe of Patch. Inevitably, the mix of the two leads to a perfect storm of disagreement and distance. The lividity of Rich continues on throughout the evening on a regular features Rich run. With sunny spells from Mike through his random humour that people rarely understand, that is your forecast from Alex Beresford.
Excellent. Perfect. Thanks very much for that. Sorry.
You know, it's so funny because obviously, like I said, we don't read scripts on the weather, so no. I don't read a lot.
I was going to say, I was thinking, oh, it'd be fine reading an auto cue. But no, that's great. Thanks very much for that.
That's all right.
And okay, so that pretty much brings us to the end, Rich, unless you've got any last minute questions.
No, just he's out.
He's out, he is. But the final question that we ask guests is, in the Meatloaf song, he would do anything for love, but he wouldn't do that. Yeah. What do you think that was?
Oh, my God.
All night now, you think.
He'll wake up, 3:45, when his alarm goes off. Actually, I was listening to a podcast last night with Meatloaf on it, and he didn't sound very well. Has he had a stroke or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't sound very well at all.
I have no idea. I can't say Meatloaf is someone that's on my iPod.
No, okay.
Although I do know that song, but what he's talking about, I don't know.
I don't think anyone knows, and this is the problem. This is the problem.
Have many people
given you... I can't remember what people said now. No, I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to listen.
I think people just laughed at them.
No, they come up with some...
To be fair, like when you said you had one final question, I would never have guessed in a month of Sundays that it was going to be them question.
That's the beauty of it. Okay, no, seriously, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's great to be here in ITV studios. So we're actually sat here looking at the Clifton Suspension... Is that a live picture of the Clifton Suspension Bridge?
No.
No, okay. And you've got, that's a, I guess that's a panoramic view, isn't it?
It is, actually, yeah.
In fact, I got married in that hotel over there. I got married in the Even Gorge Hotel.
Nice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, there we are.
2001.
Oh, excellent.
Nice.
Okay, yeah, so once again, thanks very much for your time, and we'll end it there. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Alex.
You're welcome. Three Peeps in the Podcast.
So hopefully you all enjoyed that interview with Alex Beresford. It was great to go to ITV Studios and see the workings of the newscast that they do, and where they produce the weather forecasts and see some of the team. It was great to meet Bob Crampton on the way out. So thanks again, Alex, for the tour of ITV Studios and also for the podcast interview. But before we go, I want to just hand over to Elena Welch, who's a very close friend of mine, and her children and my godchildren go to a nursery in Warmley in Bristol. And we're going to put up on our Facebook page a petition that you can all get behind to actually help save the nursery, because they've been served 3 months' notice by the council. But Elena's going to go on to tell us a bit more about that now. And as you can all appreciate, it's very hard to replace a child during a term time. So it's important that we get behind the petition and help the cause. So over to you, Elena.
Hi, my name's Elena Welch and I'm a mother of two children that attend the Rocking Horse Day Nursery in Warmley within the grounds of the Grange School that has just recently closed. They are a family-run nursery that have provided 25 years worth of outstanding care, education and time with a great Ofsted history. On site, they provide nutritious meals all day and also deliver to 14 other nurseries as far as Gloucester, which their little business is called Mini Meals. It's family run, so it's husband, wife and three sons. They've got over 50 children that attend, 20 long-standing staff and obviously over 100 parents. South Gloucester Council have actually served 3 months' notice with no further information or guidance on what they can do next. We're at a loss as to understand why they've done this. All of the parents and staff are getting together to fight this because we really don't want our children to have to be moved elsewhere. It's a crying shame that this is already having to cause a lot of stress to a lot of families and potentially staff and children. The nursery is beyond flexible. It's like our family, and the thought of my children having to go elsewhere is really upsetting. If they don't go to nursery, I can't go to work. I know that a lot of parents feel the same, and we feel very strongly about trying to squash this idea of them being moved. So just really want your support, guys. Hope everyone out there feels the same. Sign petitions, do everything that we can. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks very much for that, Elena. And we have now shared the petition on our Three Peeps in a Podcast Facebook page. So please do take 5 minutes out of your day to fill that out. It's been there for quite a while. I actually went to the Grange School and it was always there whilst I was there. So it would be such a shame to lose the nursery and cause a lot of problems for the parents who take their children there. Thanks again for listening, guys, and we'll be back soon. Cheers.
Three Peeps in a Podcast.